It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And let's talk legal with Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law here on the Talk Station, the right advice at the right time. And Wes Collins joins us this morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Ben.
Yeah, coming up on the holiday here soon.
That's right. A little bit of a short week.
And pretty good time to get the family together and talk serious stuff, too.
That's right. Normally this time of year on the program, we do remind our listeners that, you know, when the family comes together, Thanksgiving, over the holidays, Christmas even, then, you know, it's a good idea to maybe have some discussion about some of those financial issues in the home. Maybe bring up with mom and dad, you know, do you have a will, power of attorney, those kind of things.
Where are they?
Where are they? Those type things. So I'm going to go over today just a general, what I call maybe a holiday checklist of things that are important to take a look at, maybe have conversation about, so we know where we stand with regard to our documents and any estate planning we've done. And if we haven't done any, that's okay too, but it's good time to start that conversation and maybe get that taken care of.
Yeah, and no pumpkin and no football until you've had the conversation.
That's right. There's the rules. That's right. So basically, you know, let's just start with your general estate planning. You know, most people understand that, you know, we're dealing with a will there, maybe a power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, a living will. So I'll walk through each of those. As far as the will goes, of course, the will is the document where we'll indicate where we want our things to go, our assets to go, our money to go, our car to go, any real property in the event of our passing. Also in that document, we indicate who we want our personal representative to be. That's the person, like an executor, who wraps up the final affairs of our estate, deals with the probate process, so on and so forth. In the event that there are minor beneficiaries, or if we're talking about, you know, just someone who does have children, then we want to see a trust in the will for minors, so that if we leave something to someone who's under 18, then we don't, we're not frustrated by having to deal with the court so much, the clerk of court. Instead, we're funding a trust for those minors. And so that's kind of a simple thing. If we have minors, we really don't want to leave their share to them directly. We want to leave that in a trust. Sounds a little complicated, but it's something that is very important.
Yeah, people look at a lot of different options for how to leave minors, part of either an estate or even funding for college or something. But it really ought to be in control, so that they don't run off and buy, you know, 18 cars.
That's exactly right. You know, just having that holdback trust. And, you know, this could go so far as to, you know, life insurance proceeds too. We could leave, instead of naming children who are young, who are 10 years old or under 18 anyway, assets under a life insurance policy, that if they're under 18, will go to the clerk of court and be held by the court until they turn 18. And then they'll get this, you know, potentially large check, which most parents don't want their 18-year-old to get a large check. So, you know, you could set up a trust, very simply, testamentary trust in your will, name your estate the beneficiary, and then we're not bothered with that problem. Then those assets then pass into the trust. We name a trustee, maybe a, you know, it could be a brother or a sister, aunt or uncle to the child. It could be, you know, anyone that you rely upon in order to, administer those assets, invest those assets, and make decisions about how they will be used. And then typically we have language in those trusts for minors that indicate that maybe at age 25, they get their first disbursement outright. So we've used the money for college, or we used it for medical expenses, or we've used it for, you know, maybe even in a business we're getting started, or maybe to pay rent or to buy a house. But whatever is remaining, if anything, at age 25, then a disbursement out of maybe one half, and maybe the second half at age 30. But there's no magic to those numbers. It's really every person's circumstances is their particular circumstance and their particular decision about how they want these assets to pass out to the minor.
But it starts with that decision to do some estate planning.
Right.
So that's part of that holiday discussion.
That's right. And if you don't have that trust, and we see this fairly frequently, we don't, because we deal with so many estate issues, you don't have the trust, and then there's a sudden, death, someone's in a car accident or whatever, we have a $500,000 life insurance policy or even sometimes more. Most life insurance policies that we deal with for folks who are, have minor children, normally it's going to be six figures of some sort. And, then it passes into directly to the court. And, the family's coming to us saying, well, what can we do about this money? Well, you really can't do anything. It passes to the court.
Right.
And there it is. And they receive it at age 18. So again, count on the holiday checklist here. Got into the weeds there a little bit about life insurance and trust, but that's just an example of things you really need to be cognizant of and take care of.
And if it seems all very complicated, you guys at Harvey Collins, you've done this so many times. Obviously, it's not complicated to you. So, but you demystify it for us by just saying, look, we can sit down. You tell us, you're where you are in life.
Right.
And we can help design that plan.
Right. And if you have a relationship with another lawyer who does this type of work, please, really, we're just wanting people to get out and to have the conversation and to get this planning done. Don't let it lie, because certainly as life is going on and everything is going pretty smoothly and you're with us and you're not sick and you don't get in a car accident, everything's fine. But all of a sudden, when one of those twists or turns comes along and we don't have the planning, sometimes and many times it becomes very difficult to deal with the issues. And it usually, costs the family money, and it may create problems within the family members, because, certainly money does divide families. Let's mitigate that. Let's make sure that whatever we have and whatever we have in place with regard to our assets passes the way that we want it to pass, not because of the fact we didn't put a plan together.
So again,
having the conversation and getting that conversation started is very important.
I would just say, just having dealt with a number of families in these situations, just try not to use words like never and always. I never will want to be in a nursing home, or I never want to have this, or, you'll always take care of me, won't you? So those things kind of create an atmosphere of guilt at some point in time. Instead, sit down and plan, just so everybody knows options that are out there, not necessarily which one's going to be taken.
But that's exactly right. So, all right. So we're talking about, first of all, the will. I mentioned trust for minors. That's a very important thing to have in the event there are minors in play. It's very important that if there are minors in play as well, to name in your will who you want the guardian to be. In the event that you're a parent, you have a minor child, and you become incapacitated, you have a stroke in a car accident, anything, or if you pass away, then the court will name a guardian for that child or children. And in the event you have not indicated in your will or in some other appropriately drafted document who you want to serve as guardian, then the court has no direction from you whatsoever. And then that could, potentially be a fight among the family.
Yeah.
Who is going to be the guardian?
Right.
And sometimes what comes into play with regard to that fight, who has control of the money?
Yes, exactly.
The minor child just received $500,000 in life insurance, or $100,000 or $50,000 in life insurance. So all of a sudden, we have family members who want to be the guardian of this child or children, maybe for some ulterior motivation.
Right.
Which would be to have control of that money and maybe help themselves out a little bit. So help yourself out and help the child out. Make sure you have indicated who you want that guardian to be. And that guardian, you could you know, bifurcate it where you have the trust that I was talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the person who holds on to the money and manages it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you name someone else to be the guardian for the child to make the decision about where they live, where they go to school, who their doctor is, church involvement, mm-hmm. you know, all these type things. You know, kind of the parent figure. But then you've got the check and balance there between the trustee
mm-hmm.
who's managing the money and the guardian who's making the day-to-day decisions. So kind of the guardian's
guardianship over, of the person
overseeing what the trustee's doing.
Yeah.
But again, do the planning. Get that put in place. It's really not very expensive to do it, but it could be very costly to not have that put in place.
None of this is really very expensive to do. But the one of the things about the difference between using it to go to the state attorney again versus doing it online is that you're going to have your specific North Carolina language. You're going to have also your real intent. You get to express that
to
the attorney.
Well, you know, the online thing has been there for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had lots of litigation cases where someone tried to go online and get their planning put together, and it ended up not being what they thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
What the attorney is trained to do is identify issues. And a good attorney who deals in these areas is going to identify the problems that you may have and identify the issues. Such as the things I just brought up,
mm-hmm.
you know, the trust for minor and putting that in place, the necessity of having a guardian for the child and putting that in place. And also, you know, the attorney is going to be a resource for you in the event you have questions or issues later on.
Mm-hmm.
Online, there's no one to call. The other, you know, type of resources, normally it's a 1-800 number and you know,
mm-hmm.
you don't, and the disclaimer is what? We're not providing legal services to you. We're providing legal documents. So,
all right. We'll have more to come in just a moment. Again, with Harvell and Collins and Let's Talk Legal. Wes Collins with us this morning, 800-818-2255, if you'd like to ask a question. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Wes Collins talking about our holiday checklist and still on the will.
Yeah, we're kind of stuck on the will, so let me move forward a little bit. Just talking about the holiday checklist, you know, families come together and it's a good time to, you know, have a little conversation about making sure our affairs are in order,
right.
Making sure that we know where the mm-hmm. documents are and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So, again, got hung up there on the will with regard to the trust for minors and the guardianship provision. The other thing I would say about the will is make sure in that will that we indicate who we want our own guardian to be
mm-hmm.
in the event that you become
incapacitated.
And really, you know, we can look in the will, but normally we're talking about a power of attorney where we see that
mm-hmm.
because the power of attorney is the person, of course, that we name to handle our affairs in the event that we are not able to handle them ourselves.
Both durable and health care.
That's right. Durable health care, living will is important. Living will, of course, indicates what your desires would be in the event that you're in an end of life situation.
Yeah. And so, if you haven't done that yet, and so mm-hmm. you're meeting with family, you should just have that conversation. How would you like that handled?
That's right.
Because sometimes that may be what happens if you don't have the declaration of natural death.
That's right.
Filled out.
I would also recommend, you know, when we're talking about these, you know, just baseline documents being the will, power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will. And also, it's good to have a HIPAA authorization so that you designate who can get any medical records for you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know where those originals are.
Mm-hmm.
We run into this problem weekly, Ben, at least monthly. Let me not say weekly, but at least monthly, we run into a situation
mm-hmm.
in our office where a client has lost an original, or maybe someone who wasn't our client can't find the original, or a family member. And remember, as we've talked about on the program, we cannot easily probate a copy of a will.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have the original of that. In the event we only have a copy, you have to go through what is basically a mini litigation process
mm-hmm.
for the clerk of court to determine whether that old will that you may have some evidence of should be probated or not. If
mm-hmm.
you just have the original, then we go put it on record and you don't have to go through that somewhat expensive process.
Mm-hmm.
So let's determine where those originals are. Are they in a filing cabinet somewhere? Are they in a safe deposit box? Are they at the attorney's office? Let's just know about that. Mm-hmm. Where are our important papers? As far as those important papers go, we'd also like to know, obviously, where our life insurance policies are.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know where the declaration pages are. Maybe even take a look at those so that we know that our beneficiary designations are as we want them to be.
Right.
Do we have the ex-wife still named as a beneficiary mm-hmm. when the divorce took place 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or have we remembered to fix that? You know, these yes. type of things. So,
or you can have, because I have seen this happen too. You may have had a child that has preceded you in death, and so you've named them as the beneficiary, and now it's that child's estate.
That's correct. So. It could be, you know, I leave everything to my spouse, and then the three kids equally, mm-hmm. and they could be named these three kids mm-hmm. on the beneficiary designation document. So if you know, the spouse has died and then one of the children have died and there's only two remaining, then that mm-hmm. creates some complexity with regard to how, you know, the life insurance would pass at that point in time. So pull those out, dust them off, know what we're dealing with regard to that. Also, with regard to retirement-related insurance,
mm-hmm.
I see a lot of this out of Cherry Point, where the beneficiary designations aren't what we thought them to, we thought they were, and we don't learn that until the person has passed away. You know, understand that, you know, the lawyer has his hands on the will
mm-hmm.
and the trust and the power of attorney and the healthcare power of attorney. The lawyer normally doesn't necessarily have his hands on the beneficiary designations so mm-hmm. much.
Right.
Because that's a go to your employer, fill it out type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sit down with someone who's selling life insurance and fill it out type thing. We see a lot of mistakes in those documents. And, you know, we're normally with life insurance dealing with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So know what you've got there. Know how it's set up. And if you're a little uncomfortable with it, gather it up. Go see your lawyer. Let your lawyer look at it with you. Walk through it and make sure it is doing exactly what you want it to do.
Okay. All right. Again, we're taking your questions too. If you'd like to call in at 800-818-2255, 247-7282 or 353-4674 to talk to Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins about your legal affairs. And we'll have more coming up in just a moment on Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning on Coastal Daybreak. Hey, welcome back here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, running down the holiday conversation checklist to have before the pumpkin pie and the football.
That's exactly right, Ben. So, you know, we talked about just your basic estate planning documents, will, power of attorney, healthcare, power of attorney, living will, having that conversation, getting out the life insurance policies, at least knowing where they are, looking mm-hmm. at the declaration pages so we can see who the beneficiaries are, mm-hmm. making sure they're
where the key to the safety deposit box
know
is.
Where the safety deposit box and the key to it is. Where are all these documents? Is there an annuity? You know, mm-hmm. who's the beneficiary of the annuity? Do we have the ex-wife from that we mm-hmm. were divorced from 10 years ago named as a beneficiary? Do we need to change that? You know, mm-hmm. just look at those type things. Look at those account statements. You know, where do we bank? It's good to have that conversation so your kids know that in the event something happens to you that, you know, I have accounts at BB&T. I have accounts at First Citizens. I have accounts at Sound Bank, whatever the bank may be, Bank of America, First Bank, whatever. So we know where to look, and we know in the event that, you know, the person passes away where the assets are. And while we're looking at those account statements, we also need to look at how they're titled. Are these accounts just in the name of the mm-hmm. parents, just
right.
mom and dad,
right.
or just the surviving parent? Or has a child been named to that account? And if a child has been named to that account, why did we do that? Did we do that just so the child would have the right to write checks on the account to pay the bills, mm-hmm. pay the power bill, cable bill, whatever it may be? Or did we really want that account to pass directly to that child?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the will says
right.
upon the death. have that conversation and make sure that there's not a mistake in that titling of the account, because mm-hmm. in the event that the account was made joint with this child, it doesn't matter what the will states, whatever's in that account upon the date of death, it will pass directly to that child. And a lot of times that's a mistake. So look at that. We just have a couple minutes left, but I would also mention mm-hmm. those folks out there in the second marriages.
Yeah.
Especially the second marriages with the kids from a previous marriage. Know that you have dealt with the right of the surviving spouse to make an elective share claim in your estate. Mm-hmm. Now, most people kind of know that there is a right out there for my surviving spouse to
like
receive something
or something like
something like that. First mm-hmm. 10 is actually 30, but mm-hmm. you know, and there's something out there. I can't disinherit them all the way.
Right.
Well, the law in North Carolina, again, this, I don't want to get in the weeds with this, but the law in North Carolina is very strong as it relates to the rights of the surviving spouse. Mm-hmm. And the elective share statute allows the surviving spouse within a relatively short period of time, is 6 months after the date of death, to make a claim for an elective share, which depending on how long the two have been married is up to 50%
right.
of the total net assets. Now, mm-hmm. that may work just fine, and that may be the intent of the husband and wife. Mm-hmm. Many times in the second marriages or the third marriages, and the children from a previous marriage, we see more of an intent to separate everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been through this before. I had a marriage before.
Right.
And now this time, love you very much. You're my spouse. But we're going to have a separate house as it relates to the financial mm-hmm. house. I'll have my financial house. You'll have financial house as far
right.
as accounts and so forth. So just know that that can be dealt with appropriate planning so that we can provide for the surviving spouse, but not end up leaving our children, our natural children, in a situation mm-hmm. where their inheritance is lost or a large majority of it is lost. It's a little bit of trust planning
right.
is involved there,
mm-hmm.
elective share trust. But again, that is a somewhat of a pitfall that we see. So in those
yeah.
second, third marriages, just kind of know that that's out there and get with someone who, an attorney who deals with these issues to address them.
You know, if you're having a Thanksgiving dinner and your parents, maybe you're having it at your parents' house and they've
right.
recently retired. And
right.
they've moved from out of state and they've retired to near you to be near the grandchildren.
Right.
Very typical kind of thing to do. You might want to talk to them about where was your will written.
Right.
And you may consider having it redone in North Carolina, if that's where you are.
That's exactly right. Here in the last minute or so, I'll wrap up by saying it's a good idea as well to talk about really what do the parents have.
Yeah.
What do you have? You've got a little real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have property back in New Jersey where you used to live anymore?
Right.
You know, where do you have any accounts? Just have a general idea about that.
Get that conversation started with Harvell and Collins at 726-9050 and 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City and online at harvellandcollins.com.